Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast, episode 30. Entitled, I went ahead and pre-titled this "Awful," but co-host here, Greg, had a great idea and called it "Awful with a Chance of Sunshine," and I like that because that's pretty much my mood right now. So, what is the Mean Green Nation podcast? Well, it is it's the podcast, the official podcast of the very unofficial UNT football blog, and, well, UNT sports blog, meangreennation.com. I am your host, Adam, and I reserve the right to criticize the sports people that play and demand my attention. And you, in turn, can criticize me. Say, Adam, that was god-awful, that podcast. And, you know, I'll go back into the locker room and, you know, write up some new podcasty plays. That's the way to do it. With me, as always, is Mr. Greg Godecker, coming to us live from Irving, Texas, sort of. How you doing? How you doing this Labor Day? I mean, overall, that was a fun weekend. I had a good time hanging out with UNT folks. I don't say down there in Austin, but it's up in Austin for me, because I drove it from San Antonio. Anything in particular stand out to you that you want to talk about? Like pre-game festivities, Austin festivities.
No, I didn't really attend much of them. I was down in my hometown, Schulenburg, picked up my dad, and then we went to the game. So, I mean, it was good to obviously to see all the other UNT fans there. You know, see them walk around, and even if you didn't know the person, you know, they'd give you the wave, give you the smile. You know, that makes you feel good as a fan.
Yeah, I think. I don't really hold any ill will towards, you know, University of Texas fan. I think we're so obviously in different universes football-wise that it's hard for them to hate us at all. And any hate on our side is kind of like a misplaced, you know, kind of jealous hate of anything. I mean, you know, I don't hate Texas fan. They're kind of full of themselves. But, you know, rightfully so in some ways, right? They have a 100,000-seat stadium. They have all of Austin pulling for them. You know, I mean, you know, the world does kind of revolve around the University of Texas football program. You know, so there's that. They were pretty nice. I think they were just kind of like, thanks for coming to the slaughter. That's kind of the attitude that I got, you know. Like, hey, they didn't really see us as real threats. And so, I mean, going into the game, I had some hopes of giving them a run for their money. So I was kind of, you know, taking the their comments with that in mind, like, you know, yeah, you're not gonna like me so much after the game.
Yeah, during the game, you know, you sat with all the other Mean Green fans in that little section down there.
Yeah, I sat with the I sat in 31, in 31. I think it was like 31, row 68. So, like, I was not down there. I was kind of up a little bit with, like, the freshman students were.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, I think if we would have had more buyers of tickets on our end, we could have probably filled that section up. I think it's designated as a visitor's one. But there were a couple where there was, like, little spots of green in my section.
Yeah. There was no green in my section. I was the only UNT fan. But every time we did something, I stood up, I cheered, I didn't care. When we got the ball first and it started to get a little bit loud and all their fans were standing up, I stood up and waved the come on sign, let me hear it. And then I felt bad afterwards because our offense looked like crap.
I mean, yeah, it was a weird thing to hear, like, where I was, because I had, like, freshman kid next to me, and he was like, I don't know, he was weird. He had like a kind of a, you know, like a country accent. But then he would just be like, come on, oh, let's go, oh, let's go, D. And it was just weird because it was kind of funny. You know, like, it just unusual hearing those three phrases just over and over. And, I mean, it was fun. Everybody's cheering. And, like, usually I don't like to start mess, you know. I mean, but they were, like, encroaching on my space, man. Like, there was, like, somebody stood up and, like, bumped me with their knee. It was kind of a larger freshman chick, and she just kept bumping me, and I had to look at it. I was like, hey, come on with that. And then, you know, they got all embarrassed, and then they moved.
There was one point in the game where I did get after a UT fan. There was a pass play, and he thought it was pass interference. And at this point, I was infuriated with what was going on offense. And he's like, "That's pass interference on UNT." And I just turned around and hollered at him. I was like, "That's not pass interference." And they should. Everybody started looking at me, and they showed the replay, and he turned around, and he was like, "You're right, it's not pass interference." I was like, "I know."
Yeah, I didn't have to yell at anybody, I don't think. No, I didn't yell at anybody. I did. What sucked was that they were yelling really loud, you know, rightfully so, every time they did something good. You're at home, any little good thing that you do is the greatest thing ever. Especially in that first drive, you get a 5-yard gain. Everybody's like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, I mean, I was expecting that. But then, you know, like, you hope that you get a chance to do something. The biggest cheers that we did were, like, the sack of David Ash. I think Jamin Roberts got him and dropped him on his ass. So that was great. And so we did our own, like, yeah, sack. But that was pretty much it. I mean, for the most part, there was nothing much else to cheer for.
I was waiting for that moment where I could be the only one standing up just going, yeah, yeah, what now? But it never came. Well, it came in the fourth quarter when we recovered the fumble. But at that point, most of the UT fans had already left because, you know, I don't know why. I mean, they weren't good last year. And, I mean, I thought they'd relish the point to actually they're winning a game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so the first game of any season, no matter who it is, it's filled with a lot of people that are just kind of there to be at the big event. Everybody knows that the big football game's coming this weekend. I mean, there's a lot of freshmen that you probably won't ever see again. There's a lot of socialites kind of that are like, yeah, we'll go to the big Texas game, and they go, and then you know they ain't gonna be around for anything else. It happens at anything. There's Spurs game's gonna come up, and they just won a title. That first game is going to be filled with a bunch of people that were never there at anything else. So, you know, like, they see what they came to see, and they go home. It's time to leave. That may happen to us next week also versus SMU. But we'll get into the SMU game a little bit. All right, let's get into some game recaps, some actual football talk here. I want to preface this again with the warning that we're going to criticize some of your favorite players, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to say maybe that they didn't play so well, and that doesn't mean that we hate them. okay, so let's talk about it. The offense put up something like a handful of yards, I think it was. It's really just... That was terrible. For a good portion of the game, I think we had like 32 yards total. Something like that. And the passing game combined for 15 yards.
Woo!
And a negative 22 passer rating. I think Chris Brown of smartfootball.com, and you might see him on Grantland, he pointed that out. He said, "I don't think I've ever seen a negative passer rating."
Yeah, that's pretty tough to do.
Yeah, I was.
I mean, it's almost like you have to try to be that bad to get that rating, because I'm not sure. But I mean, yeah, you never seen it, and somehow we accomplished it. So yeah, it'll be stuck with us forever.
Now, like, so my wife, who's admittedly not the hugest football fan, but you know, she's watching enough football. I mean, she turned to me halfway through the game. She's like, "That's just awful." And I mean, there's nothing I can say about that. It was. I think I made the comment on the little recap post I did that it was almost willfully awful. Like you said, it's almost like we were trying to be terrible. It was just the whole thing. Every part of the passing sequence, from the snap, the snaps were usually low, to like the blocking scheme. I think Antoine Jimerson missed a couple blocks. The line was okay. Had mistakes. The quarterback, the reads, the mechanics, the throws, step, all of it had like problems pretty much every play. And, you know, it was terrible. And even the catching, because, like, finally, Andrew McNulty throws, like, a 5-yard pass, and I think it was, like, on 3rd and 10 or something like that. And Darvin Kidsey just drops it, leads to a pick, and then it returned all the way. And they cover the spread, and now I owe this guy that went to UT a lunch this week. So there you go.
If that interception wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't have owed him that lunch. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Mm-hmm. But, no, watching our offense was like the equivalent of banging your head up against the door, and there's a nail sticking out of the door, and you just keep ramming your head on that nail. But that's kind of how I felt on Saturday. There was missed assignments, missed blocks, missed reads. You know, what I couldn't understand what were the guys looking at. There was guys that were open, and we weren't even looking at them. The Darvin Kinsey thing, he obviously didn't see the ball coming. And I guess he wasn't expecting Andrew McNulty to throw it that hard, because, I mean, no one is. He's got a noodle arm. So it got on him quick, and he just, you know, he acted like a volleyball player. He had a nice set piece, and the Texas player, you know, cradled it in and took it into the end zone, and there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I usually try to like temper my immediate reaction, just because it's usually in the heat of the moment, you're watching the game. One, it was hot, I'm like sweaty. I had like three different layers of sweat, because I'd like sweat, go into some AC, sweat again, go into some AC. So like, it was like three different layers. It was pretty terrible sitting out there. And then to watch that, you know, I'm like, ugh, all these Texas fans yelling in my ear, clapping in my face. It's awful. And, I mean, so I was trying not to be like, I was looking at the stats, I was looking at the game, I was like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Because it feels like this is terrible. And then you see the stats afterwards, and I'm like, wow, it really was as terrible as I saw. And I think I made the comment to Chris Brown that if there ever was a game that deserved a negative passer rating, it was this one. Yeah, so I'm glad that it got the rating that it deserves. It makes me more confident in that metric there.
I mean, if you're going through that game, and you're Coach Canales, and you're Coach Carney, and you're sitting there and you're watching your quarterbacks just, you know, dump in their pants all night long, what do you do? I mean, yes, obviously some part falls on you because you're the coach, you had to prepare him better, but what play call, if you're Coach Canales, do you run? Because I got Josh Greer, who can't even complete a 2 yard out pattern. He bounces it 4 yards in front of the kid. I mean, I've got McNulty, who he can't throw it long, but then all of a sudden he's throwing a 15-yard, looked like it was a poster. He had, I think it was Darvin Kinsey, he had him open. If he uses his right arm strength, which, you know, is not very strong, if he throws it to him like he normally does, it's a catch, it's a first down. But no, he's got to launch it over, you know, 20 yards over his head. I'm like, what do you call?
Yeah, I mean, in there's some games that just everything goes wrong. I mean, we've all watched a lot of sports. We've all seen pretty much everything go wrong for our teams. Like, either it's like in basketball, like, nobody can make a shot. Everybody's turning the ball. You feel like nobody can dribble. You're like, what is even happening right here? And, I mean, there was really, like, they pulled the card they had, which is, you know, bench the quarterback and bring the next guy in. But that didn't really help any. And, look, full credit to Charlie Strong and his Texas Longhorn defense, because they're good. That's what they hang their hat on. They have the talent to play great defense, and I think they played really great defense. That said, it's not like there weren't plays to be made there for North Texas Mean Green.
Right, and that's the frustrating part, because, like you said, the plays were there that we could have made. There was open guys, and had we converted on at least some of those, the game is probably like 24-14 or something like that. It's not 38-7. It doesn't look abysmal.
Yeah.
We needed a competent quarterback to come into that game. You know, like I said, coming into it, I was like, if we're going to have any chance at all, Josh Greer's got to play really well. And he didn't play anything at all, and look what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a couple cases, like, even if we didn't even need them to go score touchdowns, but we needed them to not throw interceptions. Especially Josh early in the game. It's really more on the early part of the game. By the end, when McNulty was throwing his second pick, we were just aiming for some garbage time points there to make the scoreboard look better. But Josh's interceptions were worse because, I mean, I kind of watched a little bit of the first half again yesterday morning, and I mean, they were like, we had some momentum there. I think his first one came after they scored their touchdown, or it led to their touchdown. I forget which, but in effect, the thing is the same. The effect is the same. Is that it took any momentum that we had and put us on the back foot, because now we were, you know, trying to catch up. But up to that point, we were playing some pretty good defense on them. They were trying to run right at us, and we didn't let them. I mean, they got 5-6 yards on a couple carries, but it was nothing spectacular. They weren't, you know, breaking tackles left and right. And if we would have sustained a little drive, even got up there to maybe even attempt a field goal, that's all we needed, because we play the field position game. We lost that game because we were turning the ball over.
Yeah, and we weren't converting third downs either.
Yeah, yeah.
Our defense wasn't letting them convert third downs either, so that was good. But still, yeah, we didn't convert. We put our defense in a bunch of horrible positions, and we were expecting them to make miracles happen. And that's tough to do because there was so many things to guard against with Texas. You're worried about putting so many guys in the box, stopping the run. And basically Texas was doing the little, you know, bootleg, and then they had the short tight end, and then they had the crossing route, who was John Harris, and it was always open. And, you know, that's our defense just got worn down a little bit, but to their credit, we rotated a ton of guys, and they pretty much all played well. They all had their moments. It wasn't like Texas gashed us all night long.
No.
They had three big running plays. And if you go back and you probably watch those three big running plays, you'll understand what we talked about in the breakdown was the zone blocking scheme of Texas. Basically, the line is moving as one unit. And in that instance, our defensive linemen weren't able to cross the face of, you know, their offensive linemen in front of them. So they kind of got walled off. You know, the wide receiver did a good job blocking. And, you know, in between or just outside the hashes, there was a little gash, a little hole, and Jonathan Gray or Malcolm Brown, they would hit it and be off to the races. But you didn't see it a lot.
No, you didn't. And even then, we had a guy like right on their heels that, I mean, I don't want to give him crap for not making an arm tackle, like when they're coming all the way on the backside, especially against guys that are as good as Gray and Brown. But we were there. And, you know, against another opponent with maybe not such a high pedigree, maybe we make that tackle. So, yeah, like, I mean, we played great defense. It wasn't perfect defense. Like, you know, we made every tackle and we blew up every play. But no one is expecting that. You want the guys to play hard, to be in the right spot. And if they get beat, it's not by a whole lot. It's by, you know, like either the luck of the luck of the draw, kind of like the ball bounces in Texas's favor, or they're just slightly out of position because the guy across from them beat him because he's a good player. And that's what happens.
Our defense played well enough to give us a chance to be in the game. Into the fourth quarter. When I talked about to everybody, I was like, we just have a chance going into the fourth quarter. And our defense played well enough to give us that chance. It was just the other side of the ball let everybody down.
Yeah, I don't want to say I was like disappointed with the special teams, but we beat their special teams. They missed a field goal, and our punt game was solid. Our punt coverage game was awesome. The Shipley guy didn't do anything, and they didn't get anything on their kick returns. Granted, we only had the two, and we also got punted the ball down at the one. And then you see what happens when you play the field position game that way. We down them at the one, and we force them into a fumble. And especially after their center got injured, Dom Espinoza, that whole quarterback center exchange was vulnerable, and you know that's what scored us our point. So I want to chalk one up. There's the defense scoring points again. They did that all last year. I don't want to say they led the team scoring, but they contributed a significant number of points to our offense. And you know everybody likes to quote the number of points we scored last year. A lot of that was set up by the defense. A lot of that was either scored or set up by the defense and or the special teams. And there's another example. I think my biggest fear for this year, and I know I'm not letting you talk right now, my biggest fear for this year was that the defense wasn't going to be as ferocious and it wasn't going to be able to do the damage and score the points like they did last year. But I think my fears are assuaged, Mr. Go Decker.
My biggest fear coming into the year was after watching the spring game that our quarterbacks wouldn't be able to make quick enough decisions and we'd struggle in that department. That's what I feared. That's why when I picked the score last week, 24-6, it was because I didn't think we'd score a touchdown, and we didn't score a touchdown. And yeah, I mean, when you look at our quarterbacks, man, you just shake your head and you're like, could I do better than that? Could I really? I mean, most fans are probably going to say, I could have completed that pass. Maybe you could have. I mean, if you played high school quarterback or something, maybe.
No. I couldn't complete that pass, and that's fine. I don't think I could complete that pass. But I wonder if I was thinking about it is because, like, there was one, I think it was Andrew McNulty's interception, the first one. He didn't stand in the pocket. You could see that he saw the pass, he saw the post, and he, like, braced. He, like, flung it over his arm and kind of just threw it up and then just braced for impact. And now look, if that's me, yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I might not even throw it. I might kneel the ball down because I'm not a D1 college football player, and that's fine. But we need a guy that's going to stand tall and make that pass. And that's one thing that Derek Thompson did very well. Everybody talks about his toughness. That's one of those things that he did extremely well. I know that UTSA game in particular, on the last drive where we were trying to score the tying touchdown, he was taking some big hits. He was standing in there, firing it, getting hit, and completing the ball. So that's, yeah, if we miss, quote-unquote, Derek Thompson, we miss that. But it doesn't matter if we miss him because Derek Thompson graduated. It's not like we traded him or something like that. You know, he just graduated. He's gone.
Right. Yeah. To be a good college quarterback, you got to have physical tools, you got to have the mental tools, and you got to have good coaching around you. And people are going to argue about the good coaching at this point, but I'm a Coach Canales guy. I like him, and so I'm going to stand by him. And I think our quarterbacks, I think Josh Greer has the physical tools. I don't think he has the mental tools at this point. I think the game for him, and this is where we'll kind of, you know, get into how would we fix the offense, is, you know, he's not reading the defense correctly. He's not reading it at all. And I don't know what he's seeing out there. He's, you know, like I said, he's poo-pooing in his pants. He's got the poo face every time the snap's coming back to him because he's wondering, what am I going to do? You know, I get it. Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle for, you know, University of Texas. That's an All-American guy. Cedric Reed, that's an All-American guy. These are guys that are going to be drafted in NFL. And they're coming after you, and it's your first game, and you've already made mistakes, and it's just going to, you look like crap out there already. You get nervous, you're going to make more mistakes. But our guy, for our quarterback, he's got to be mentally tougher than that if we're going to succeed this year.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's like, if there was ever time to do this, in any game this season, it's this game. You know, like, I'd rather them do it in this game because we were always going to lose. You know, we were favored to lose. We were predicted to lose. And, you know, like, it doesn't mean anything on our season. We're not going to go to the college football playoffs. You know, it's not going to damage our spot in the polls. What this does is, you know, it's baptism by fire, you know. All these guys, all these young guys we were wondering about, they went out there against a really good team, a really good coach, really good players and a really good coach, and maybe going to be a good team. At least defensively. So, you know, I don't want to knock any of Conference USA, but they don't really have, overall, the caliber of player that University of Texas does. And, I mean, so it's not going to be as hard as that, especially it's not going to be as new as that. And now you know what you need to do to get better. Like, you know, you have a baseline for success.
The only one team that probably will get after us, like their defensive line, could be UTSA.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, they look like their defensive line is one of those that could give ours trouble. So, yeah, you talk about our offensive line and having trouble with them. And I know a lot of people made the big deal about Lemon going out to right tackle and McKinney playing guard. And McKinney struggled in some passing situations, and so did Lemon. But again, Cedric Reed is out there. And I highlighted it in the, you know, in the breakdown. I thought it would be a good matchup. But where Lemon kind of struggled in the spring game against Jerry and Roberts was with his speed on the pass rush. Mm-hmm. And if our offense is consistently in third and longs against the University of Texas, and they know we're probably going to pass, they're just going to pin their ears back, and that's tough for any offensive lineman to block.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you know what's coming, it's infinitely easier to defend. I want to read a comment by David Casares. He says, he posted on the page, on the podcast page, UNT defense played their hearts out against Texa. If QB can reduce mistakes and make the easy reads, we'll be fine versus weaker SMU team and comparable Conference USA foes. I agree. I mean, that's
pretty much, I think that's the overall feeling that, you know, most UNT fans have. And if we could limit our mistakes from our quarterback, you know, we're going to be able to run the football against most teams we play. You know, we're going to play good defense. And we're going to be in almost every single game from here on out.
Yeah. As far as, like, all right, so what do you do to improve the offense? You asked that question. I know that we love to run, and I think we'll be a lot more successful running the ball on first and second down against SMU. But I'd like to see a little bit more variety there, some more play action stuff, some things to kind of change it up, to make it a little easier and not make us so predictable. We were super predictable last year, and we were successful at times, or maybe not as successful as we could have been. And I don't know, as far as like the reads, there was that one, the interception to Jordan Hicks that Greer threw, he was really staring him down. He was staring at Darius Terrell. Hicks dropped off into coverage, and he just read the slant, and he threw it right at him. It's like, so he didn't see him. And that's kind of the tunnel vision you get when you know, it's a big game, and you're like, you have nerves, and you're like, I need to throw the route, and you don't assess the situation. So I think that'll be a lot. That'll be taken care of. You know, he's probably embarrassed and, you know, feeling bad about himself. Both quarterbacks. Definitely, you know, Mike Canales, definitely Dan McCarney. Everybody wants to do better. They felt like, I saw a lot of tweets from a lot of players feeling like they let everybody down. They didn't really let anybody down. So I think we'll be better against SMU at home in Apogee with supportive fans after a week to process this and to get some reps and work on some things.
Right. And before I get into what I believe how we can fix the offense, let me just say this, that it's important for you as fans, students, alumni, to get out there, at least for this first game. Forget about what happened at Texas and give them this SMU game. Give them your full support, your full love, full effort out there as a fan, because when you're down as a player, they're going to go through hell this week. The coaching staff is going to lay into them. It's going to be harsh. And then if everybody comes out there on Saturday and it's a full force stadium like we were expecting before what happened last Saturday, before mm-hmm. the abysmal offense, and the players see everybody there and see the crowd behind them, it's just going to make that much more of a difference in their minds. They're going to play even better than they would have had you not been there. So I'm just saying, get out there and support them. They need it this weekend. We really need it. Now, what I would do to fix the offense, because my dad asked me this on the way home, you know, after the game. He was like, you're pretty good at, you know, thinking about how to fix stuff. What would you do? And I could not answer him right away. I mean, I thought about it all the way home, an hour and a half long drive. I thought about it, you know, the 5 hour or 4 hour drive from Schulenburg up here yesterday. And I think you got to start with your quarterback. My first key to how do we win the game was to ease Josh Greer into the game. And they didn't ease him into the game. They were forcing him to make difficult throws and difficult reads against a good defense. So if I go back to the tape and I see Josh is not making the correct reads, I'm going to reduce the reads. I'm going to say, look, son, I'm going to give you a third of the field to read. I'm going to run routes on the other side just to keep the defense occupied, but you only are going to read this third of the field. And once I feel comfortable with you reading that, then I'm going to give you, you know, two-thirds, and then you go on to three-thirds. I think that's how you have to break it down with a young quarterback. Then ease them into the game. Give them the easy throws, you know, the wide receiver screens. We didn't see any of that. The throws to our running backs out of the backfield, the little dump passes. We saw a little bit of that. That could be successful against SMU. Give them those things. Like you mentioned, the play action, the boots, what Texas was doing to us. We've done it before. We didn't see any tight end action in that game. Marcus Smith in the flat, Chris Loving in the flat. Get them that. You know, give them the easy read across, and then have another crossing route, you know, 15 yards down the field across the middle with Darvin Kinsey or Carlos Harris. You know, do that. And stick to the running game. Stick to what you do best. I felt like when we were trying to run to the outside against UT, it wasn't effective at all. They were using their speed to, you know, close the holes, close the gaps. When we started to run right at Texas, we found a little bit of success. So you're going to have to run right at SMU. And I know a lot of people are going to say SMU against Baylor, you know, their defensive line struggled. Don't look at what SMU did against Baylor, you know, points-wise and score-wise, because Baylor's offense and our offense are on two different, you know, galaxies right now.
Yeah.
You know, Baylor can spread you out, and you have to be worried about the pass and the run. And our offense, you don't really have to be worried about anything right now. Well, maybe the run. We'll give them the run.
Yeah, the run.
So I think you just have to dumb down the offense. I know people say it's probably already dumb already, but you got to make it a little bit more simpler for your quarterback. That's what I mean by, you know, dumb it down a little bit. Because obviously there's too much going on in his mind.
Yeah, all right, so I'm writing these down. I don't know. It seemed to me, here's the thing, here's where I'm going to kind of disagree with you. I don't know. I mean, I'm not privy to how much, to like the his read progression. But I will say that, just like on that first interception, he had a double slant going on the right side, and he was staring it down, and he saw Darius Terrell get open for a brief second. And the thing is, he got fired in there. He has to read it and fire it. And he kind of paused, and he was like waiting for him to get more open, and then he threw it. And the whole time, Jordan Hicks is just walking over there because he's reading his eyes and just stands in front of it and just intercepts the ball. I don't know how much smaller of a read you can get there. So that's where I'm kind of wondering if it was the read. I will agree with you on the giving him situations to succeed in. And that's why I say maybe a first down pass. Because a third down pass, all his passes came on third down, I think. I can't think of one that was on like second down early in the game I'm talking about. And that's super predictable. That's why I say, like, against Texas, you know, I get we want to run the ball and establish a run, and we believe in our run game, and we even had success. We didn't have a whole lot of negative run plays, if any, and that's great. Even on those, you know, east-west kind of runs, we did well. The thing is that, yeah, that's where you give them the easy pass. You don't give them the pass on third down where they're pinning their ears back, like you said, and bringing six guys. And you're it's too many moving parts. You want Antoine Jemerson to get a block. You want the line to make the right shift, and then you want the guy to get over when everybody's waiting for the short pass. That's a lot there. So I'm like, hey, give them that first down pass. Give them the bubble screen. Give them the easy dump off. Give them the short, you know, the little hitch route. Something that he can complete, get into the rhythm of the game, and feel good about himself. And that would go a long way. So that's what I'd like to see. And we don't need to just, you know, like, you know what? We need to go air raid. We don't need to do that. We don't need to veer from our identity. But everybody knows we're going to run.
Right.
Like, do something else.
Give him completions. I think that's the biggest thing that we're talking about. Because the quarterback, his confidence is probably a little bit shattered right now. And it was shattered in that game. Mm-hmm. You have to build him up now. You got to give him, let him see four completions in a row or something like that, easy passes. And then, you know, his mechanics settle down, his mind settles down. I can do this. I can play football. Because if he's playing at the University of North Texas, he's playing Division I football. The kid can play.
Yeah.
All right? It's not like he's some Joe Schmo off the street that we just picked up the... We're going to, you know, throw him out there, hope for the best, you know, whatever. A lot of UNT fans probably think that way, but he can play. It's just, what does he do successfully? And we got to go find that.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, hey, look, everybody, we've all been in situations where we basically shat the bed, you know? Whatever it was, maybe you had a presentation, maybe you had a homework assignment done, maybe you know, your boss had you want you to do a project. We've all, you know, F things up sometimes. And it sucks that you know, that he was doing it on national TV and has, you know, all of Mean Green Nation, not me, but like everybody watching the game tweeting about him, like, God, he's awful. Everybody on SMU was watching the game, at SMU. Everybody I know that watches college football was watching the game and saying that was pretty terrible. So that's what sucks, is that level. But that's the other side of being, the starting quarterback for the University of North Texas, is that you get the praise, all the praise, and maybe some undue praise, and you get all the criticism. And
I'm expecting Greer to be the most improved player come Saturday. I know he doesn't have to improve a lot, to be the most improved. If he completes 10 passes, we're all like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But no, I think if Coach McCartney wasn't lying to us at the beginning of the year saying, this is one of the smartest kids I've ever been around, mm-hmm. I'm expecting him to improve a lot from game one to game two. I think that the coaching staff, saw, okay, maybe we thought we could do too much with him. So we're going to, we're going to shrink it down a little bit. Maybe go back to the spring game and see, okay, what plays did he run successfully in those games? Maybe we'll focus on building on those plays, mm-hmm.
And again, so there's that. I have every confidence that he'll be better. And like you said, that's not saying a whole lot. That means like he's going to complete, I think it's what, 4 passes. If he completes 4 passes to our team, that's better. And for a lot of reasons. I think SMU is not nearly as good on defense. They don't have nearly the talent as Texas. So there's that. Those gaps are going to be open for a little bit longer. He's going to be at home. I think the running game is going to be a little bit more successful. Maybe where there were like no yard gains to 3 yard gains, that's going to be 3 yards to 5 yards.
Right.
And so, down a distance will be more manageable. The playbook will be reduced down to the successful ones, the good plays. And I think everything will be fine. I have every confidence in it. It was awful, but there's a little bit of sunshine, as we said. There you go. Podcast title reference, guys.
Sunshine. So, the SMU game. What you got? What do we got pregame activities going on? I know there'll be a lot of tailgating out there.
There will be a lot of tailgating. The game's at 11 a.m., which is kind of ridiculous because I think that's right when it starts getting hot. Ugh, it's stupid. All right, well, I'm going to drive up Thursday night. And so I'll be there in Denton, Texas, on all day Friday. And so I'll be out and about Friday. Pretty much what I did this week. I was out and about in Austin, actually at Silo on 7th. I will be in and around Denton on Friday, probably at Eastside Social Club, probably at Oak Street, whatever, tavern, bar, whatever it's called. Everybody knows you. You say Oak Street, everybody knows what you're talking about. I think it's Tap Room, maybe? Anyway, I'll try to get out there as early as I can. I know a few folks are tailgating, and I'm going to go mooch off of them. Have you been to the Mean Green tailgating machine? The Sound Man's 1963 school bus that he completely remodeled. He gutted it, put like a sink in there and a couple beds and changed the seats around, has TVs and lights and things. Probably the coolest thing, and I Instagrammed this, was the beer. You put the beer in the helmet and then it fills it up from the bottom. It was a cool, I felt like I was like a 1960s world fair, like step right up, come see the amazing beer dispenser. It was awesome.
And so I've seen the bus out there, I just hadn't gone in.
You gotta go over there and do it. Go out there and go do it. What else we got going on? Are we gonna do a podcast from out there? Are we gonna do like a live game day show if we can do it?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be fine with me. I know I'll be out there with a few folks tailgating. I know that's our goal that we've talked about together, is to go out there, do our own little Mean Green, college game day show, have some giveaways,
Yeah, Mean Green Network, guys, yeah.
Yeah, and do a little podcast out there. So if any of you fans out there that are listening that, hey, you'd enjoy that, let us know, and, we'll definitely set that up.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, that'd be kind of awesome. Get a little set out there, a little table.
No, little banner, boy. We'll get Kirk Herbstreit, Lee Corso. No, who we will have? We will have the Mean Green Man come on.
Oh, yeah, I met him in person. I met him in person, and he's great.
He will be our Lee Corso.
I think he's always going to pick you, UNT every time.
Okay, so he will be our, what's his name? Lou Holtz.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry, I'm kind of half reading Twitter here. That's the thing. The only problem with this game is that it's 11 a.m. It's pretty terrible. And that's for TV, right? Are we going to be on ESPN? What channel are we going to be on?
I think it's on Fox Sports...
One?
I think it's channel 219 for DirecTV people.
Okay.
I believe that is it.
Yeah, it's for TV, right?
Yeah, it's 11 a.m. We get on TV, that's good. There's a little bit of a chance of rain right now for you weather geeks. I think it's like 20% right now. They're expecting a weak, cool front to maybe come through. I don't know what time Saturday, so if it came through early in the morning, we'll have, even though it'll be like 90 degrees out there, it'll still be a north breeze. So, hey, you get a north breeze and it's 90, it's doable.
Yeah. I agree. All right, so do we want to talk? We want to break down the SMU game a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
That's portion of the show.
Yeah, we could talk about it.
All right, so your breakdown, your SMU breakdown, is that going to come, what, Friday again?
That will come Friday morning.
All right, cool. So, how's the defense match up with SMU? We saw them get beat, I don't want to say the same way, but in a similar way as we got beat.
Yeah, I think Baylor's defense was probably a little bit underrated than what people thought. Their defensive line looked really good. I don't know if SMU's offensive line was that bad. I'm going to assume that they're not great. They're not that good. I think our defensive line will be able to get some pressure on them because, like I mentioned last week and all along, I think our pass rush defense and our pass defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And SMU, that's what they want to do. They want to pass the ball. So if they're going to run these little short screens, bubble screens, wide receiver, middle screen, short passes, it favors what we do well because we tackle well and we'll be able to rush the passer. So I think our defense is going to find some success against the SMU offense. SMU is probably going to move the ball better than they did against Baylor, but I don't think that they're going to be up and down the field.
No. I mean, they're breaking in a new quarterback there also after the former UT guy, I forget his name.
Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, there you go. For whatever reason, I wanted to say Blaine Gabbert just because, whatever, I don't know, I'm going crazy. All right, so, I don't know, here's the thing is that June Jones has not been as successful. You know, here he is, big-name coach, big money, coming into SMU, as the basketball coach, Larry Brown, big name, big money, going to the SMU basketball. Larry Brown took them, like, almost damn near to the tournament, and they got to, like, the final in the NIT. Did they win the NIT? I don't know. Nobody cares about the NIT.
No, I don't think they won.
They went pretty far there. Point is that Larry Brown's doing much better with the SMU basketball program than June Jones is with the SMU football program. And so I'm not really scared of SMU. I mean, they can score a little bit every once in a while when they play an undermanned team or a team not really disciplined. But his run-and-shoot shtick kind of peaked in 2006 with the...
Timmy Chang.
Well, no, Timmy Chang was like 2004.
Oh, no, it was Colt Brennan.
There you go, the other Colt. Yeah, so, and, you know, Georgia ate him up, and they haven't been relevant since, you know? And there's been, like, Art Briles is kind of pushing that spread offense, run-shoot style. They've incorporated a lot of run-shoot concepts into their stuff. I think, I don't want to say the game is passed him by, but, I mean, I think his shtick is a little dated now. They haven't really done anything the past couple of years, even with some talented players. Where'd they go, 5-4 and something last year? 5-something?
Yeah, 4-5 wins, I guess. I think they had to win the last one to get in a bowl game, and it was against Central Florida, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It's SMU. But, no. June Jones, like you said, maybe past his prime with his offense. And, you know, Larry Brown, I think it's easier to recruit basketball prospects when you've won some NBA championships and to recruit basketball in Texas. It's probably a little bit easier for him than June Jones trying to recruit football prospects against Kevin Sumlin, LSU, yeah. Arkansas, Bob Stoops. So, you know, maybe he's not finding the players that he needs for his offense. We don't know that. I think they lost some players from last year too. Like you said, they're replacing their quarterback. I thought their quarterback looked a little bit better than ours did. Mm-hmm. He looked a little bit more competent. They played two.
Let me just interrupt you real quick. The thing with that is that our run game looked competent. Like, that's what we want to run the ball. We want to play defense. And we looked good in those two areas. Our weakness is maybe passing the ball because that's, we don't really have an emphasis there. And so you look at across the other side, SMU, they want to throw the ball. So that they looked kind of competent in throwing the ball is unsurprising and still, like, it's it doesn't mean anything, I think. But continue, sorry.
Their quarterback got shell-shocked because the Baylor defensive line, the one defensive end, I think his name was Oakman or something, the 6'7" guy. I mean, that dude, he's going to be maybe a first pick in the NFL draft someday if he keeps progressing. Or maybe the left tackle for SMU was just that bad. I don't know. Either way, if you're young, like our quarterbacks were, they got a little bit shell-shocked. They put in the other guy, Davis. And he scrambled around, but he tried to act like Johnny Manziel. Did you see the pass where he, like, scrambled out? He broke a tackle, scrambled out to the left. Then he tried to throw it all the way back across the field, and he got planted while he did it, and he threw it into double coverage. He just threw a jump ball. I'm like...
that's classic Johnny Manziel stuff. Everybody thinks that they can do that now just because they saw him do that. I didn't see that play. I was half-watching... as it scored, it was like, just like taking up. It's like you're filling a gas tank and just going blink, 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 and just going up. God, this is terrible. I mean, the only thing that slowed down Baylor was Bryce Petty getting injured. I mean, if he stayed out there, they could have put up like 70 on him.
Probably so. You know, I mean, that's, you know, and that gets into our offense matching up with their defense. Because the SMU defense, they didn't look that good. But they were playing a much more competent offense than Texas, a much tougher offense to prepare for. So, you know, they're probably feeling good about themselves after watching what we did coming into this game. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to have to defend the entire field. They're not going to be worried about guys running past them, you know, like the Baylor speed guys. So, you know, we have to be successful running the ball at them. We have to be successful getting our quarterbacks to play a lot better. But, you know, the SMU defense is, you know, I think they match up okay with our offense. It's going to be a tough game. We're not going to blow them out. They're not going to blow us out. Both teams are struggling, licking their wounds. We're lucky that we have it at home.
I agree. I think that's a nice assessment. I can't really add too much to it there. Outside of, the fact that we couldn't execute in this game. Was the worst thing. It's not, I mean, past couple years we had Breland Chancellor, and, you know, I'd argue, even though he got cut by the Chargers there, that he has NFL speed. And I don't know anybody off the top of my head on this team right now that has NFL or possibly NFL type game speed. You know, not just like raw numbers, this guy runs a 4-4, but like in the game, he gets the ball, turns the corner, and he can take it all the way. Now, I mean, that's rare to have. We were lucky to have that. So if you don't have that, you have to execute. That means you have to run crisp routes. That means you have to make the right reads. That means you need to hit the guy when you need to hit the guy. Make the block. Because you can't rely on just everything went to hell, but we got the ball to the guy that can, you know, shake a tackle and take it all the way. You know, it's like in basketball. You got to run the offense. You can't just throw it to your stud and let him just, you know, take on a double team and score.
I don't think we, you know, you were saying we don't have anybody with NFL type speed. I don't think we know that yet.
Yeah, that's the other part.
We didn't get to see Carlos Harris in some space. We didn't get to see Darvin Kinsey in some space. Right. Let's see against SMU if we can get them the ball in some space and then see what they can do. Because I think, you know, they're pretty good players. We just got to get them the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I said we don't have guys that it's like we don't have guys that we know of. Have demonstrated it. Yeah, you're right. I think Carlos Harris is good and he can do some things. A lot of guys, that's the terrible part about the quarterback play being so poor is that it's the hub, it's everything. Nobody can get the ball. You can't pass the ball to yourself, you know? So I expect them to be much better. You got a score prediction? I picked 27-24 upset and last week, and I'm going to go ahead and say the same score this week. 27-24. UNT with the win. Now I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead and say Josh Greer is going to throw a touchdown.
Whoa! Uh-oh. Yeah. Stop the press. That's breaking news on ESPN.com. right there.
Yeah.
North Texas throws a touchdown pass.
We might, if, say he has a good game, even a solid game, that might be the biggest game-to-game increase in quarterback rating for a team. That we might break a record here. Yeah. You have a score prediction?
My score prediction, I would say 14-9 North Texas wins.
14-9, wow.
I think our defense scores another touchdown.
It's like straight out of 1971 over here, man.
Okay. I think our defense scores another touchdown, and I think our offense gets good field position, like on the 40 from a punt return or something, and we're able to run the ball down there and maybe complete one pass.
Yeah. I'm excited about this game. I think we're going to do really awesomely well.
Yeah, I'm not going to predict our offense to do well until I see it.
I mean, I have faith. I think the run game is, like, they had some lanes there. They just kind of, they were...
Yeah, and then, you know, one guy we didn't really mention was, or a couple guys, Pegram. You come back from the ACL. I thought he ran really well.
Yeah.
And Jimerson, he did the thing where he danced around too much.
Yeah.
And the young guys, Ivory, we didn't get a chance to see much of him. But the other guy, Jeffrey Wilson, I thought he played well. And a lot of UNT fans think that too. So I'm interested to see him get some more carries this week.
Yeah, all of those guys did well. On the defense, Kenny Byers could still tackle. That's great. I think he went for like a blow up hit on John Harris, and then, you know, and he scored it on the touchdown in the start of the second half that made it 28. That was like the only play I saw that he really made a mistake. But I mean, you know, whatever. But he was tackling well. I was concerned about that. Larry Mealy put some hits on some guys a couple times. Yeah. He got beat on some bubble screens. Like he wasn't attacked. I don't know what his reads are there, and I think Texas saw him like kind of leaning back, and they threw that quick pass to like Shipley, and then he made a couple plays. But even then, we didn't allow big runs. I think the only time was one up the sideline, and I forget the receiver, but he stepped out of bounds, and that pretty much stopped the play there. I was trying to just think. Yeah. Sid Ellis was good. Jaron Roberts looked good. He missed. He
the
missed.
Sack.
Yeah, he had David Ash dead to rights there. I mean, David Ash is a good player. If he sacks him there, that's a whole different game. But
that was a 3rd and 6 play, and that was after the Sheldon Wade personal
penalty.
Foul. That
yeah.
that was a bogus call. Anyways,
yeah,
he didn't. I mean, the referees gave him that. We knew we'd be in Austin, so
that was
going to happen.
Yeah, that's why you can't do that if you're Sheldon Wade, just because you're going to get called for it.
If we get that sack, that's 7 points off the board right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You take away probably some of those interceptions that we throw. That's probably another 7-14 points there, you know, 21. But Jaron Roberts, he showed that he could get to the passer.
Mm-hmm.
Our defensive line showed that they could rush the passer. They could hold their own even though they were underweight.
Mm-hmm.
The linebackers, I thought they played pretty well. I thought they might have been the best, maybe the best position group, maybe the defensive line. And the secondary played pretty good. The one issue we couldn't, like, for some reason, like, John Harris was, like, running away from James Jones.
Yeah.
And maybe some of that had to do with those were the times he ran away from him were on the play action, the boots.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, that's kind of tough if you're a corner seeing everything flow one way and then you got to, you know, bounce back.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is that, like, we were fully focused on the run and, you know, they bust out with the throw. Yeah, that's your responsibility. But I think everybody was so zeroed in that that's the kind of thing. And they were relatively successful with the run. But we were like focused that we cannot let them do anything here.
And
I think for the most part we played well.
They didn't beat us over the top either.
Nope.
Like
nope.
You know, and that was a good thing. But I didn't think our secondary would get beat by Texas's wide receivers anyways. Because if you go down Texas's roster, I don't think any one of those wide receivers is a Conference USA first team selection.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, that's just my feeling.
The other thing, Anthony Wallace looked real good. I think he blew somebody up on one. He's running around making tackles. He looks good. I can't think of anybody on the defense that I could single out and say, well, maybe they didn't play so well.
No, and that's good. Compared to our defense, you know, the first group last year was really, really good. This year, we probably have more depth than we had last year.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. You want to have that, especially if your offense is going to suck all year. So I think offensively, you can't really say anybody did anything good other than maybe Reggie Pegram and maybe some of the offensive linemen played okay. Antonio Johnson, the left tackle, maybe played a little. He played all right, but I think it's an incomplete grade. Let's not grade our offense based on the Texas game yet. Let's wait till we play SMU, and then we'll decide if we need to panic or whether we were just kind of overreacting and Texas was just that damn good.
I agree there. I mean, yeah, it's really hard to judge them for like not creating gaping run lanes because they created some good openings there. And I think for the most part, we attacked those holes. But, you know, again, like, so they're trying to run against a defense that knows they're trying to run and is not respecting right. your pass at all. And they made some headway. They got some good yardage. They didn't get blown up in the backfield. And so I think getting, you know, a 0 to 5 yard gain is about all you can ask for under those circumstances. And if that's a perfect time where you do the boot, you throw it over the top, or you get Carlos Harris, you know, on a little zip out right there, and then he turns the corner, and then you get a little gain, and then they sag back off, and then the run game, you know, has a little breathing room. That's how you play the game.
Yeah, I mean, we see it. I guess we need to be the offensive coordinator.
Well, we'll see. I think somebody asked this question on the message board, like how long until you push the, you know, the red button that fires the coach, meaning Dan McCartney. And I think he probably has like two more seasons, and it would have to be a terrible two seasons. I think what happens first, and I think this is why I got so much crap on Twitter, somebody jumping on there. Mike Kanaan is the best coach there ever was. How dare you criticize him? What was I saying? So, like, I think what would happen first is that Mike Kanaan is, you know, under this scenario, like, our offense is terrible, you know, and there's some pressure on the coaches. I think what happens first is that we change offensive coordinators before Dan McCartney gets fired. And that's way in advance. It's classic overreaction, you know, to a loss stuff. I don't think any of them should be fired or will be fired in the foreseeable future.
No, I agree with you. You know, Iowa State, they fired Coach McCartney, and every one of those people will admit to you they made a mistake. All their fans, and so we don't want to make that mistake and overreact and be like, hey, we're North Texas. And plus, they just gave him a new contract, and we know what RV, you know, is like with contracts and stuff. So he's probably going to hold on to him. I think you're correct when you say that, you know, normally the first person to go is the, you know, the side of the ball that struggled the most. And if that's going to be anybody, it's going to be Mike Kanaan. But yeah. I have full faith in Coach Chico to turn it around on Saturday. I think our offense will look, they'll at least look competent.
I agree. Just to wrap it up again, I will be in Denton. You'll be in Denton for the game?
Yeah. I will be in Denton. Okay. Yes, I will.
So if you want to come say hi, I think all of you kind of know what I look like already because my face is on the message board. So stop, say hi. I will be in and around Denton. My Twitter handle is Mean Green Nation. If you want to tweet at me, give me your HSOs. Greg, what is your Twitter handle?
MGN_breakdown.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Greg's breakdown coming on Friday. I fixed up the message board, like I said, so it's a little bit more usable. I'm not saying leave Go Mean Green, but I just know sometimes it can get a little ridiculous sometimes, or you want to have something specific you want to say here. It's just another place. That's all it is, you know?
Yeah.
And there's also Mean and Green forums. It's meanandgreen.freeforums.org. I'll occasionally go there, but there's like a lot of Go Mean Green cast-offs there. Like, they really don't like the board. It's weird. But, you know, I always try to give a little shine to all the UNT sites out there. You know, because there's, everybody likes some Mean Green talk. You try to get it wherever you can. It's out there. There's, like, North Texas talk. There's a couple of, like, satire sites, like the Electric Eagle or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, so kind of funny.
Again, can't stress it enough, guys. Get out there on Saturday. support your team. Forget about last week. It's all about SMU on Saturday. It's all about resurrecting the ship, baby.
Hey, you know what? And hey, if the offense is as terrible, the good news is they sell beer there now, so you can drink it and numb the pain.
You can numb the pain until the third quarter, and then you can go home. But that's not going to happen. We're going to turn it around on Saturday.
Yeah.
Big things coming.
Yeah. All right. All right, you guys. Gumby Green, thanks for listening. To all you people on here, I think this is like our highest listened show. Most listened show. Our highest listenership. God, I was conflating some things there. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Gumby Green.